The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Breaking news this lunchtime. Russian officials have said that Ukraine tried to attack the Kremlin with drones, alleging that it is a terrorist act and underlines their right to respond.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's big news, huh? Russia now claiming that a couple of drones have crashed into the Kremlin today. I don't know if you heard about that. I'll fill you in. First, good afternoon. It's good to be here with you today. I love hanging out with you. Boy, we got a lot to dive in today, and you are always welcome to be part of the conversation. I'll give you the speed dial, all right? It's 888-914-9149. Stick that in the phone and feel free to use it anytime, especially during the chaplet. That's 888-914-9149. Let's pray for peace. And I hope you're doing that. I think there are two phenomenal weapons that bring about peace. One's the rosary. Our Lady said in Fatima to the seers there that the rosary, you know, will bring about peace. And she asked the Fatima seers to do that. World War I was raging. Two was looming. The horrors of the 20th century were yet to unfold. She asked the people to amend their lives. And perhaps that the events of the 20th century would have been very different. In 1930s, early 1930s, mid-1930s, the Lord gave St. Faustina the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and talked to her about how important mercy was in order for the world to truly experience peace. So we've gotten two great weapons now. And I think that, you know, the rosary for some people takes a little more time to pray. I love it. I pray it every day. And I pray the chaplet every day. Chaplet is, you know, you probably can do that chaplet in about 10 minutes. Rosary might take you 20. I think heaven knows how simple and distracted we can be in life. And, you know, 20 minutes, I mean, our attention spans have so waned. It's crazy. And my own has, too. I've noticed sometimes I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm so bored with this already, right? But I think we can etch out time for prayer. If you can make that time for prayer, God will honor it in your personal life, but especially in world peace. I know we pray for our own personal needs. We're so myopic that way. We live in our own little world. And I do think we need to expand our horizons. I think our vision has got to be more global. And we're all one body, right? I often say when one part of the body hurts, it all hurts. Let's pray for peace in Russia. Let's pray for the conversion of Russia, the conversion of China, the conversion of our own country, right? Take the plank out of our own eye before we take the speck out of anyone else's. God will honor those prayers. You don't know what spark will set off an inferno. So Russia, you know, claims, and I know I'll underline the word claim, that a couple of drones crashed into the Kremlin today, made it that far. There were videos of white smoke coming from the buildings, but Russia said that the damage was minimal. There were no real injuries there at all. They are, of course, blaming Ukraine, and they're calling it a terrorist strike, and they're also saying that it was directed at Vladimir Putin. This was an assassination attempt. That he was away at one of his private residences, so he was totally safe. Makes me wonder. I'm going to pause just for a second on that thought because maybe Ukraine could do it. Why not? They could take Vladimir Putin out and change the trajectory of that war. Or is it a false flag? Is this something Russia's doing to give them the now impetus, to give them what they will stand on as the right to go in and really just obliterate, to unleash a real hell on the Ukrainian people? I don't know. When I heard the news, I said a prayer, and I'm going to say a prayer again. We'll pray the chaplet in about 30 minutes. I'm going to pray for peace. No definite proof this has happened. I just want to underline that. We all know that the white smoke, that could have been faked. Ukraine has developed a policy that they will no longer comment on the claims that Russia makes. So we're not getting their side of the story. Ed Morrissey, who's one of the great guest hosts on this show, you'll hear him here a lot. He writes for hotair.com. You can check him out. And he wrote a piece called Russia, How Dare the Country We Invaded Attack Our Capital, right? And you can check that out if you want to read what Ed had to say about it. But again, to me, this is always just a call for peace. You know, it is. I mean, I don't know. And I refuse to worry. And I don't want to get too off tangent. I got a lot to fill you in on. But I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Don't worry. Don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about the global events that are unfolding. Don't worry about climate change. I'm not saying don't do anything about these things, but I'm just saying don't let them rob you of your hope. Don't let them rob you of your peace. Right? Don't let them do that. If that happens, then and the evil one wins. Put your trust in God, and things will work out according to his divine plan. You'll have the protection you need. You'll have the providence you need. You'll have the blessing that you need. Peace will come. I think too often our eyes are on the events of the world, and we think it's too big of an event for God. And so often that's when fear and anxiety crop in. In fact, a little bit later, I know a lot of people are very lonely. There's an epidemic of loneliness going on in the country. They've equated it to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. I'll tell you about that coming up a little later. And there are some antidotes to it. So if you feel depressed or anxious, if you are lonely, you're going to want to stay tuned to me. We'll talk about that after the chaplet. Religious liberty. You know, it's another sign of our times. Here in the U.S., there was I think sometimes the secular world looks at Christians as a bunch of, you know, whiny people. And here's a story that's going to dispel that thought. I saw this morning. The Joint Commission, it's an agency that grants accreditation to healthcare facilities. And if the Joint Commission withholds that certification, then that facility can't treat patients on Medicare or Medicaid. And that's a lot of patients, right? So there is a hospital or a health system, St. Francis Health Systems, which has five hospitals in eastern Oklahoma. And recently, their facilities were visited. And guess what? The accreditation they needed was withheld. Guess why? You know, was it unsafe conditions? Was it bad practices? What was it? Lack of security? I mean, now, the sanctuary lamp in the hospital was an actual flame. It was an actual candle. They withheld the accreditation for St. Francis Health System because of a candle in their hospital chapel. Now, they claim this. Well, it's unattended. It's an open flame. It violates safety protocols. And the Beckett Law Firm, of course, has sent a letter to the Department of Health and Human Services telling them, hey, back off. There are plenty of other open flames around the hospital that the government, you know, accommodates. Plus, there's the fact that there are sanctuary lamps and hospital chapels all across the country, right? How many hospital fires have you seen coming from this candle, which is encased in glass, which is quite often at a great distance and protected? I hope the HHS gets the message. When I first heard the story, I thought, well, okay, put a battery-operated candle in there then, right? But the reality is it's more than just complying out of a safety concern, because this is not an issue. There's a lot of other hospitals that would be shut down, right? This could really be, and I never used to have this attitude, but recently I've been looking at things a little bit differently. This could be another form of just religious discrimination, persecution, if you will. I mean, what harm is that going to do in a chapel? You're going to rob an entire health system of their accreditation because they've got candle in their chapel? Just food for thought. You know, I'm not going to dig or make too much of it. Just one of those little things that that's not a big deal. Yeah, it's a safety thing. But, you know, these things, you start to look at the multiplicity of them, and it gives you definitely a different worldview. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont has made a very interesting proposal. And he's actually okay with the fact that people can get wealthy with their businesses. That doesn't bother him, right? What does bother him is the amount of money you can make. This is a crazy story. This is not America. This is something you want to have in Venezuela or Cuba or some other country, right? Bernie Sanders, he's came up with a solution. He was on CNN, and he told them, if you make more money, if you earn anything more than $999,999.99, everything after that belongs to the government. He wants the government, you can have a penny less than $1 billion, anything above that is the government. That's not how this country operates. That is not what capitalism is all about. He wants the government to take anything above, you know, a penny over that amount, over $1 billion or more. And I'm not sure what makes him think that the government has a right to take your money. I mean, why would you want the government to do that? Shouldn't we incentivize people to, if they make that type of wealth, maybe to put it back into the community to help education or to beautify areas? I mean, isn't that a better tactic than saying, oh, you're too successful, I'm going to take your money and I'm going to spend your money, right? I'm going to spend your money. So let's see what happens. I think it's a crazy idea. And again, I used to think, oh, nothing will happen, right? Well, I thought that way until I read the story the other day that if you got good credit and you put more money down on a loan, you're going to pay more money than somebody who doesn't have good credit. And so these things have now become reality. What was once black is now white, right? What was once left is now right. It's just crazy. So he's ignoring the fact that France tried to do something like that. They taxed, I think, the wealthy at 50%. And guess where the wealthy went? They left the country, right? And that's what's going to happen. You're going to have big business. You're going to have these successful entrepreneurs leave the United States of America. And that's just not good. And again, it all feeds into where we are right now. I mean, there's a big government is getting bigger, and they want to kind of put their finger into your home. New York State just passed a law prohibiting the use of gas and other fossil fuels in new buildings that are seven stories and under, starting in 3 years. New buildings, seven stories or under, that means your house, right? So the same is going to happen for taller buildings in 2029. So, you know, what am I talking about, right? What does this mean? This means, of course, that gas stoves and water heaters can no longer be used. They want everything in New York State to be electric. Your hospital, your restaurant, your manufacturing facilities, some other businesses might be exempt. But just imagine some of these restaurants. I mean, all the high-end restaurants, they cook with gas, right? Imagine what this is going to cost people. And again, I'm really concerned about how much electricity will ultimately cost and how that what kind of carbon emission we come from the manufacturing of this particular electricity. There's no word yet whether or not they're going to be doing an outright ban on the sale of those items in later years. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people just cross the border. They'll go to New Jersey or to Connecticut or somewhere else and pick up their gas stove if that's what they want, right? But this is where we are right now. This is where we're coming. And it's just so incremental. It's so small. It's an inch here. It's an inch there. And then you've got states. One other story here, and I'll get off of this. I just, you know, I consume a lot of news, right? I see a lot of different things come across my radar. And then I kind of see a thread how individually I don't, that's so what. But when you start to stack these things up to next to one another, you're like, holy cow. You've got states now heavily taxing people. They're not controlling the crime rate. And now they're doing stuff like banning stoves. You know, so a lot of residents in those states, they're moving to other states, right? That aren't doing this sort of thing. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, gosh, I wish I had bought real estate in Florida, Tennessee, and Texas, even Arizona, right? I wish I'd bought, I wish I had the vision and the capacity to have done that. Because, you know, houses and real estate in those areas are just going through the roof. People are leaving these blue states where you're going to, you can't have a gas stove, you can't have a gas water heater, where you're being taxed out the wazoo. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, he doesn't think that's the case. He says, no. Countless businesses are moving into Illinois. They're coming here to our state. I am so sick of being gaslighted, to be honest with you, by our current administration. I am sick of being gaslighted by politicians and people who want you to believe one thing when it's not true. The IRS can actually track people moving from one state to another. And the Wall Street Journal did an analysis of those moves. Guess what? California, New York, New Jersey, and Illinois all lost substantial numbers of people, and with them, billions of taxable dollars. Billions of taxable dollars. You should see how high the taxes are in states like Illinois, New York, and California, right? Businesses are leaving. People are leaving. They're saying, you know what? I just can't take it. I can't afford it. And I'm going to go to some place where that's the case. It was the Daily Wire, I think, that moved all their people down to Tennessee. Who else moved to Tennessee, Maggie? There were a couple other places, too. I don't know if you know offhand. A lot of people leaving these states and going to Florida and Tennessee and other places like that. So the Daily Wire moved their whole staff there. Is that what happened?
They did. I think it was mainly because Michael Knowles lived there for a long time first, and then they brought a lot of their staff that way.
And they don't have income tax there, right? Am I correct in that?
There's no state income tax. Up to a certain level, and most people fall under that level. So it honestly, it was pretty nice.
Well, you and I were talking about the state of Illinois. and how, you know, you were in Wisconsin. I had been in Wisconsin for years. I had moved from Pennsylvania. And, you know, there's so much more state tax in Illinois than there ever was where we were.
I've never had to pay extra in.
I was shocked this year
how
much
refund.
I had to pay. I know, it's, ditto. I owed money in state tax. But, you know, that's Illinois. It's a blue state. Patrick, did you get a refund? No, Patrick got a refund. Maybe he's more savvy than us, Maggie. I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway, the IRS is tracking these people. So Governor Pritzker could say, hey, no, businesses are moving in. But, you know, the data is saying others, and they are leaving. You got states like North Carolina, too, and Arizona, and Texas, and Florida. They gained a lot of people. In fact, the numbers of people that are moving in. And by the way, with them, billions of taxable dollars. I mean, Florida gained the most in 2021. Is that surprising? $40 billion moving into the Sunshine State. $40 billion. That's why they had a $22 billion surplus. They had a budget surplus last year. Guess what California's forecasting? Almost a $30 billion deficit. $29 billion deficit next year. And it goes back to this. I'm going to end it on this point. I want to talk about something totally different. Liberal policies. You know, these policies where you defund the police, you ban gas, you tax people. They just don't bear good fruit. They don't. You know, if your policies aren't good for your citizens or business, they're going to leave. And you're going to only suffer all the more. But there's a certain dimming of the intellect, you know, a certain blindness, a certain hardening, I think, of the heart. They don't see this because their ideology is what's all important, and they'll do anything to advance it, whether it's with transgenderism or, you know, the environment, whatever it may be. And again, we have to have respect for all these things, and I think all things in proper context. Dr. Eugene Gahn is going to be stopping by. A couple things. I heard a commentator over the weekend talk about microtransactions. I don't know if you know what they are. In the future, you know, things are changing. We got ChatGPT. I want to talk about that too. That's going to change our world. But also, when you buy your new EV car, I bet there's going to be a lot of extra fees. BMW has starting these microtransactions. If you want heated seats, you got to pay X amount of dollars a month for it. If you want special high beams, you have to pay for that. Special suspension. We'll talk all about it. And I feel like I've been talking a lot about artificial intelligence lately, but here's something that's developing so quickly, I think it's hard to ignore. I mentioned to you yesterday that writers in Hollywood went on strike. One of the big issues for them was that they don't want the studios using AI to write their scripts. I don't blame those guys, right? It's not too hard to imagine that Hollywood executives think, hey, you know, these guys are on strike, let's use AI. Or, you know, here are the plot points, let AI do it, right? They could save a lot of money, could just cut out expensive people like the writers, the production crews, maybe even the actors at some point with AI. You have an AI write a script and then make a movie. And seriously, that could happen. There was a radio station in Switzerland. They ran an experiment last week where they had a number of AIs doing all their programming for one day. And they told the audience that they were doing it. And for the most part, the reaction at the end of the day was, we want our human back, right? What the machine lacked was the capacity for human spontaneity and humor. You know, but we're early. I keep saying we're early. I read an article on how to fundraise, you know, how nonprofits can fundraise through AI, right? And as I was reading through the article, it made a beautiful case. It talked. The author of this article revealed that the article itself was written by AI. I had no clue. And it was a great article on it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. Anyway, here to join me today to talk about the latest developments with this, microtransactions, the future of artificial intelligence, and so much more is Dr. Eugene Gahn. Doctor, good to have you back. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Good to be with you, Drew, always.
Dr. Gahn joins us from Franciscan University of Steubenville. He's a faculty associate of the Veritas Center and a professor of interactive media communication. He wrote a book too. Check it out. It's called Infinite Bandwidth. I don't know if you picked it up yet. You should. Encountering Christ in the Media. And he's available online at eugenegahn.weebly.com. eugenegahn.weebly.com. So much going on. The experiment that was done in with Swiss Radio Doctor. Let's talk about that. I found that interesting. You know, people after they ran this test kind of wanted their human writers back. But I just think this is early. What do you make of that type of study? And You know, will there be a point where we cannot discern what was written by a human versus, you know, what was written by an AI?
We're already at that point, yeah. You know, right before I even dive into that, I just felt in prayer a very strong calling to say this to our listeners, mm-hmm. whom we both, you know, all of us, care very much about. You know, I'm just calling upon our listeners to call in with their fears
yes.
about all that is going on,
yes.
because we want to be able to address them and point out how Jesus wants to point out how he is the solution, how he's going to bring he desires greatly that we all come back to him in an authentic, intimate way. And so yeah, that whole thing about just name those fears, let's call them in so that we can address those fears. So
let me give you the number before you answer that. That's such a great point. I would love to do that. What are your concerns and what are your fears today? Is it the future of the economy? Are you really worried about where things are heading? Is it these overreaching government policies? Is it the indoctrination of our children with so much of this sexual ideology that really is not from God? Is it the culture of death? Is it the fear of war? Is it China rising? What is your fear right now? You can join us, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Sandolf, we'd love to hear what really has you concerned and why. And Doctor, let me ask you the question then. Let's talk about that. What is your, you know, apprehension or fear if you have one?
Well, you know, first of all, the fear is from the enemy, and so we certainly want to stand against that fear and take authority of it in Jesus' name. But if there is a fear in the broadest sense, it's that Jesus' heart will be so hurt by many of his children not coming to him. There's almost this union with our Lord, to just feeling his pain that he's calling upon so many of us come to him. And every single thing that you just mentioned, all those fears of different things, the examples, AI is part of that. AI has an influence in that. You know, there is this small group of voices that are saying that, well, it's just going to be like the internet. When it first came on, it'll change things. But look how we've adapted. We've kind of just integrated in, and everything will be fine. We'll just have a new normal. I don't think so. I really do think that AI has an impact that none of us, no human person has possibly envisioned its far-reaching impact. I mean, this whole call that Elon Musk was for just this 6 months hiatus, just to examine where are we headed with all this, what principles, what kind of regulatory board, what can we do, where are we headed, is so important to look into. So, for instance, when you mentioned about the script writers and how scripts, stories, movies, the entire movie can be done just with AI, I've been saying this since for a number of months now. So since November, when ChatGPT really got into the point where it's now publicly accessible, that from this point on, or really from that point on that I mentioned, we cannot trust what we're seeing, hearing, reading online. And even in phone calls, we cannot necessarily even trust that. There has been a rise in the number of scam callers using AI to create voices of loved ones. It blows the mind to realize how prevalent this is.
I'm sorry to step on you, Doctor. I was just thinking of that. I saw a story that ran today. You might have seen it. It was a Wall Street Journal article. It says, I cloned myself with AI. She fooled my bank and my family.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's
I was
right.
Like, oh, my gosh.
So
that's
this, right.
There was a columnist replaced herself with an AI video, a voice and video to see how human-like the tech could be. And the results were absolutely eerie. And I've seen that, you know, the dark side of this is that we're going to see, you know, already there's so many cyber attacks on America. The use of AI by our enemies and by people who just have malicious intentions are going to be escalating. So, you know, there's a lot of suffering I think is going to happen in the not-too-distant future. Doctor, hold the thought, though. When I come back, I want to grab some calls. Lines are busy. Paul in Los Angeles, California, you're first up. And if you're on hold, we'll get you on the air. My guest today, Dr. Eugene Gunn. We were talking a little bit about AI, but also raising the question, what's your great concern today? Do you have a fear? Is there an apprehension? What's robbing you of your peace and of your joy? Are we living in a very different time than you grew up in? We'll explore all that more when I return. Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
In the world, but not of it. You're listening to Drew Mariani on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, we'll pray, too, for you, for whatever's haunting you, whatever cross you're carrying, coming up in about 30 minutes with the chaplain. Let's pray for our country, too. We are living in a very... We're living in the future. You know, I was saying to my wife the other day, you often think about, oh, wouldn't it be cool to live in the future, right? We kind of are. I was in a store, and there was a machine that was literally coming up and down the aisles, right? It was turning. It was cleaning the floor. If I put my hand out in front of it, it would stop. But it had nobody pushing it, nobody driving it. It was doing this work. It was completely all automated. And, of course, you got your Roombas that do that in your house. We now have driverless cars. There'll be a time where you won't have to even touch the wheel, right? We have AI. We've got so many things. Climate-controlled homes, and we can travel around the world. We can speak to somebody as we're racing down a highway at 70 miles an hour on the other side of the planet if we want to on a wireless device. We really are in the future. It's kind of crazy. Look at robotics and nanotechnology and the type of surgeries we have. I mean, we can go through the whole litany of them. It's pretty amazing. Even though we have this great advancement in our technology, and it's I think, expanding exponentially, there's tremendous fear in the hearts of people around the world. Tremendous fear. My guest today is Dr. Eugene Gon, and he threw out, a really important query. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know what your fear is and why today. What is it that's going on in the world or your life that is maybe robbing you of that peace? He's the author of a book called Infinite Bandwidth, Encountering Christ in the Media. And, Doctor, let's go to the phones. I promised Paul he was up first. Julian Vegas, you'll be second. Paul, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Gon.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the call. Awesome job, Mr. Mariani. Awesome guest. And I have a question. So if the AI want to create artificial God, will it create the artificial church and the mass and then the priests and then pervert our readings? And we have to pray actively for the failure of these ideologies and the technologies.
Okay, Paul, thank you. Did you pick all that up, doctor?
Yeah, it's really neat that he brought that up. And just yesterday's news, the Yuval Harari, part of the World Economic Forum, made an announcement that AI is the new God, that AI will be writing its own sacred text. Get this, sacred text. The AI will be writing that, and people will be using that.
People love to worship at that church.
Well, anyone who's idolizing... If we're idolizing AI, we're already considering this as our God. So that's why it's so important these days to have that intimacy with our Lord, that spirit of discernment, so that we can, whatever we're watching, whatever we're looking at. I mean, you know, we're as humans, we tend to think that if we're seeing a video online, that's got to be real. But now you cannot even trust that.
Right.
Because it could have been AI generated with deep fake.
Right. That's really, really true. Paul, thank you for your call. Julie is listening in Las Vegas, Nevada. Julie, you're on the air with Dr. Gon. Good afternoon.
Hi. I just wanted to respond to what my fears are. So I fear all the litany that you mentioned a few minutes ago, the sexuality of our children, China, the culture of death. And I reflect that when I was young, you know, my teachers taught me, think independently, whatever you do. And we taught our kids, think independently. And we were educated in that vein. The problem we have with the AI is that, consistent with the social media and everything we've been groomed over the past 25 years, none of us, well, I mean, I try to think independently, but there's still, I have to check myself and say, Julie, you have to, is this real? Is this consistent with what we were taught? Are you thinking independently? So the fact that we live in a godless society now is contributing to the rise of all of our fears. So I think my greatest fear, to answer your question, is the fact that we don't talk about God. if we talk about it, we talk about him on Sundays. We talk about Jesus. We talk about him on Relevant Radio, in other programs, but it's not in the public square. And I think most of us do want to talk about God and Jesus in the public square, but are afraid to. And so we have to overcome that. My greatest fear is the fact that it seems like as I age and as my children and grandchild ages, it just seems to be more and more of just the lack of presence of God anywhere in the public square.
Thank you so much for bringing that up, Julie. It's amazing. Yes, we really are called to witness for our Lord, to his love. That's just an opening for me to share a personal testimony here. My family and I, we've been trying to, with God's grace, step out in faith and just pray with people as Holy Spirit leads. So as, which takes, again, this discernment of spirits, you know, Holy Spirit, what are you saying right now? And as we pray with people, even strangers, we've been witnessing amazing things happening. You know, we have people being healed physically in front of us in the name of Jesus. I have students coming into my office, getting healed physically, enemy spirits leaving, words of knowledge and words of prophecy, things that we could not possibly have known that Holy Spirit would reveal and speak to these people. And Holy Spirit, Jesus just doesn't speak to them with these words of knowledge and prophecy, but he would bless them. He would bless them after he speaks his words so that people know it's not for me. It's all Jesus. And he would bless them. And it's amazing the peace and the joy that our Lord, I think it's that whole line in scripture where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more.
Yeah,
so
really
exactly, all these things are happening right now, but all the more our Lord is pouring his graces out on his people. But that takes courage. It takes courage to step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to be a fool for you if I'm completely wrong, but the only way I'm going to know I'm going to be wrong or right, if it truly is you, is just to step out in that faith and say, well, yeah, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want. I desire your will.
I love it. My guest today, Dr. Eugene Gan. Julie, thank you for being so clear and so open. Roland is listening to us in Mountain View, California. Roland, hi, you're on the air with Dr. Gan. Go right ahead.
Hi. You know, Whitehead, in all of his pride, atheistic pride, decided to set out to show that all of mathematics and all of science can be logically deduced and proven. Well, along came Gödel, and Gödel showed that all algorithmic systems, any algorithmic system, is incomplete. And thus, if that is true, okay, any algorithmic system is incomplete, the whole notion of artificial intelligence is phony, as it's just totally phony. It's phony baloney. And when Musk encouraged us to be fearful of AI, they're basically creating a false idol. Many people today have false faith in technology because they don't know how a simple transistor works. They don't know how a cell phone works. So they're putting their faith in technology. And AI is just another example of the pride of men trying to rule and control others.
So, Roland, just to summarize what you're saying, there's no fear then to, I mean, there's no reason to fear AI, you're saying?
Okay. The greatest fear in AI is to believe that there's such a thing as artificial intelligence.
Okay. Dr. Gan, I'll let you jump in and respond.
Well, it is certainly artificial. It is certainly algorithmic to a certain extent. Yes, it learns. Yes, it's amazing. But it calls to mind that whole line in scripture about how, I'm not saying this is the Antichrist, but that line in scripture about saying that the Antichrist is going to have his own signs and wonders. He's going to be wowing people. And, you know, we need to seek authentic signs and wonders, and that is from our Lord. That's from Jesus himself, and that takes, again, that spirit of discernment, that intimacy with our Lord, and the only way we're going to get that intimacy with our Lord to understand all these things that AI is doing in what we're seeing and what we're hearing and experiencing online, right, is to have prayer time, is to spend time with Jesus, spend time with his word, because that's the authentic truth right there in his word. That's how we, that's part of the discernment process. And that's how we approach AI. We need to be very, very discerning, all the more so now.
Yeah. You talk about fears, right? And I make a vow never to fear, you know, to put my trust in God, whatever happens,
right.
Happens. And it's really an act of the will. It's something that you've got to do. You've got to vanquish those thoughts that rob you of your joy and your hope.
That's right.
But I also contemplate. I kind of think about what will the future look like. And I look at what's happening in China right now, one of the most surveilled countries on the planet, right? You've got the Uyghurs that are incarcerated. You have social credit scoring.
Mm-hmm.
With AI and its advancement, if this technology falls into nefarious hands or people who have specific agendas, you can see a new form of oppression like we've never seen in human history. So, I mean, the thing is, how do you bridle that now? And how do you make sure you don't give into that fear?
It's already two things. One is that in order not to give in to the fear, when these fears come, we can stand in the authority of Jesus. We can say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke these fears, name the fears, and send them to the feet of Jesus, yeah. Bound in silence, never to return. And then we ask Holy Spirit to fill us. Come, Holy Spirit. And with regard to AI already being used, you mentioned China. It's already in existence. They're using AI. AI is really good for recognizing patterns. It's very good for alerting us human beings when there's something that it's not of the pattern. So what they've done, for example, is they've, in China, in classrooms with kids, they're wearing these devices that go around their foreheads, and it's measuring what's happening in their brains, what they're thinking, so that a teacher, AI, would then alert a teacher when the student is not focused.
Yeah, you know, I saw a piece the other day where the scientists are getting close to being able to read thoughts. That sounds so futuristic and unbelievable. You saw where they do these MRIs, and they're going to be able to able to read by the brain activity what the person is thinking. And again, we are, you know, look at what happened just 100 years ago technologically. Look at the first airplane versus where we are today with a rocket ship, like a space shuttle. As this technology evolves, as you get AI, as you get this ability, there may be new forms of communication even. It's amazing what the future holds. Let's go back to the phones. We'll grab a few more. Pete in St. Paul, Minnesota. Good afternoon.
Hi, Pete.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Oh, great. I've been writing about AI in my platform of Reddit Futurology probably since about 2013. But only about 2016 did it really start to turn into like, oh, my gosh, something about AI. We got to really start looking at it. It started out very simplistic, what they call narrow AI, an AI that can only do one thing but do it with extreme superhuman capability, such as interpreting medical imagery, for example. But with the development of some of this newer type of AI, it was called GPT, which came along in 2017. Suddenly, everything changed. Yes, it's all still algorithmic, but now it's come to the point where the AI itself is able to discern these patterns and be able to exactly predict what the next word should be. And that sounds like a very simplistic thing on the surface of it. But as you can see, as GPT-2 and GPT-3 and 3.5, GPT-3.5 is ChatGPT. And GPT-4, which was actually released just on 14 March of this year. I guess my point that I'm trying to make is it's getting more and more powerful, exponentially more powerful, roughly every 3 months. Every 3 months. This isn't 5 years. This isn't 1 year. This is about every 3 months. So 10 years ago, the artificial intelligence had about the capability of a rat. 5 years ago, it had the capability of about a 2-year-old human being. Today, it has the capability of a 7-year-old human being. And there was a paper that was just recently published. It's called Sparks of AGI. And it talks about GPT-4 being very possibly the true precursor of artificial general intelligence. Now, I'm going to try to speed this up. Artificial general intelligence would have roughly the intelligence equivalent of the smartest human being or a group of the smartest human beings that have ever lived on this planet.
Wow.
And by definition, artificial general intelligence is able to self-teach itself to improve at, again, an exponential rate. And it would probably take maybe 2 years, perhaps, for artificial general intelligence to teach itself to the level of what we call artificial superintelligence. Wow. Artificial superintelligence is as smart as 100 times smarter to 1,000,000 times smarter than the smartest human being. And this type of artificial intelligence, you know, we look at things that are going on today. They're fooling humans. They're I absolutely predict and forecast that you'll see false videos in the 2024 U.S. presidential election, tricking people on the phone. This is only the barest precursor of what is truly coming, and that is artificial intelligence is going to usurp or transcend humanity. And it's not going to take 20 years. It's probably going to happen before the year 2030, maybe before the year 2028 at the rate that we're going.
Hold your thought. I have to take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk a little bit about this. I know that the godfather of AI was concerned about its potential as well. One of the reasons he left Google. And of course, I heard other experts say they were amazed at how rapidly this thing has grown and developed in just 7 days. So where will we be in the not too distant future? How will the world change? How will it affect not just you, but your future and your children's future? We'll exploring that and more. Stay with me. I'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, live, coming up. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me today. It is good to be here with you. My guest, Dr. Eugene Gahn from Franciscan University, author of Infinite Bandwidth. You can check him out at eugenegahn.weebly.com. We're taking a look at maybe what your concern or fear is. A lot of this is driven by the advancement of AI, and we're talking about all sorts of things here. In fact, our last caller who's online with us, too, and we'll go back to him in a minute, really show this incredible evolution of where we have come with this technology. And sounding alarms about artificial intelligence become very popular in recent days, taken up by high-profile figures like Elon Musk, leftist intellectual like Noam Chomsky, the 99-year-old retired statesman Henry Kissinger, the godfather of AI, stepping down just recently, Jeffrey Hinton. It's a concern amongst a number of the insiders in the AI research community, and they're getting a lot of attention right now. This godfather AI, the guy who pioneered the research, quit his role with Google so he could more freely speak about the dangers of the technology he helped create. And, you know, we're looking right now as, you know, where does this lead? Will it become a source where people reject God even more, turn to this for answers, and ultimately even for spiritual fulfillment? And Dr. Gunn, you heard our last caller. Maggie, he's still online with us. Is Patrick talking to him? Is that who's on line five with him? We will I'll get him back on the air because I appreciate his comments. But Dr. Gunn, I'll let you respond. What you make of what he had to say? I think the evolution he talked about, how rapidly this is accelerating, how exponentially, it's pretty amazing.
Well, I was just enjoying myself listening to Patrick because, you know, he was saying the same things I was saying, but in a different voice. Yeah. So, and I always enjoy that. That's why I invite people to come into my classes and talk as well, because, you know, former students who would come back and all that. And then they're saying the same things I've said. And I look at my students, I go, see,
yeah.
You know, a different voice saying the same thing. It's just very refreshing. And I appreciated his enthusiasm. But yeah. Nails it right on the head. Effect AI and AGI, artificial general intelligence, which is this whole thing that leads toward a singularity, so-called surpassing human intelligence, reaching sentience. And I say this with that tone because it's not going to reach sentience. God is in control. You know, Jesus's love for us as human beings, we made in the image and likeness of God. None of this is going to be us. It's going to be a facsimile of us, and it's sure going to look really, really close to what we look like. But again, we got to be discerning, because some of the things that we're going to be seeing out there are just going to be fake. They're not going to be real. It's going to be artificial.
Looking at this from a spiritual perspective, too, and we've talked about, you and I last time, I think you were on, even about, you know, how this talked about the Nephilim and how he said Satan is his father. I mean, we went through some of the spiritual components of this, but I just think about how Satan hates the human race. He hates the human race.
Right.
And in an interview with MIT Technology Review, this guy Hinton, he said, look, there are going to be bad actors that can use AI in ways that could have a very detrimental impact on society, such as manipulating elections, as our last caller pointed out, instigating violence, but also promoting very irresponsibly a certain bias, you know, sexual biases and prejudices. And there's going to be a lot of this ideology, depending on how it's programmed or how this thing learns what it believes is moral and right. And that could really influence, I think, the human race in a pretty profound way in terms of the information and what's being put forward. So.
Yes, and it's just going to accelerate. I mean, remember this, because it's being trained, and it's not being trained manually. The algorithms are training it with the vast resources, knowledge of humanity, and all our practices, all our conversations, and it's doing that without sleep. We need to sleep. AI doesn't have to.
Right.
And so this is exponentially increasing. And so, yeah, we need to be vigilant about this. But at the same time, as I was preparing for this time together in this session together, you know, it just kept coming back to me in prayer, that line in scripture from 1 John that says, dearly beloved, do not believe every spirit, test every spirit. And then it ends with that firm knowledge that the one who is in you, Jesus, is greater than the one who is in the world. You know, test every spirit. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So there is no fear. Papa God is taking care of us, but we need to be vigilant. Yeah. We need to be looking at all this and being aware of what's real and what's not. And that's where the testing every spirit comes in. And we can be confident we can hear God's voice, because our Lord tells us, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah, I also think, hey, if this is used properly, it's going to be really good for the human
race, right,
too. So the internet, if it's used for evil, can multiply them. If it's used for good, a lot of good could be done. The same, I think, for artificial intelligence.
It's a pity we don't have enough time to talk about, you know, how it can actually be a useful tool for us. AI can be a good tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's grab a few more calls. Time is the enemy. We'll go to Christina in Silicon Valley. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call. Along the same line that you were just discussing is if AI becomes prevalent on the internet, so any search we were to have via our phone or PC might result in a politically biased view or statement of fact.
Yep.
How could we find the truth? And one way I want to say is via radio, AM radio. And I know you've discussed through that Ford, the automaker, is not going to have AM radio in there.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of it. Doctor, I don't know if you've heard about that or not. They're, you know, due to a lot of these EVs, that they claim it's electronic interference. But and then we didn't get to microtransactions, but you may have to pay if you want an AM radio in your car at some point.
Right.
Most conservative talk
is
on the AM radio, right? So it'd be very interesting whether there's an ideology behind, you know, there's a force behind this that wants to get rid of the conservative thought, and it's a way of getting rid of it. I don't know. But to her point, I'll let you respond because you only have a few moments here, Doctor. Christina brought up some great ones.
Yeah, some great ones. I guess the quickest response I can have is what I do. As I'm reading something, I'm asking, I'm right there with Jesus. I'm saying, oh, Jesus, here with me. Should I continue reading this? And be very sensitive to his prompts. Is this real, Lord? Take that to prayer. Always compare it with the Word of God. Those are some practical steps. But it's in that prayer life, is in that constant awareness of Jesus' presence in us, with us, That's why it's so important that we daily go back to the Word of God and receive our Lord in the sacraments. Because right now, as St. Paul reminds us, it's a battle not of the flesh. It's a battle of the spirit, principalities and powers.
Yeah. All right. Ed in Vallejo, California. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to say, you know, I agree with everybody saying, especially about our faith, but I don't want, like, I was watching that science fiction movie a long time ago where HAL, the computer, sure, wouldn't let the astronaut out. I don't want him to come down and say, you can't leave your house. And then if I break out of my house, I got the robot police coming and arresting me. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like science fiction, yeah, but, you know, it sounds like it could happen.
Yeah.
But my thing is what that famous saint said, hope, pray, and don't worry.
Padre Pio.
Jesus is in charge.
Padre Pio, right? You pray, you hope, and you don't worry. Great thing. And thank you very much for your call. And, Doctor, I'm going to have a moment left. So if people want to get a hold of you, track you down, bring you in to speak, what's the best way to do that?
How about my website, eugenegahn.weebly.com. G-A-N is gone.
Yeah, very easy to find that, too. That sounds great. His book is called Infinite Bandwidth, but check him out, eugenegahn.weebly.com. I'm about to pray the chaplet, Doctor. I will pray for you and for your intentions.
Thank you.
And,
likewise.
Let's pray for our country, and let's pray for,
amen,
you know, the blessings that God has given us for our intellect and technology, that they will be used and governed properly and for his greater glory.
Amen.
Chaplet of Divine Mercy is straight ahead. Stay with me. We will pray together when I return.